Hi, everybody. This is Erica Spicer Mason with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm thrilled to be joined by David Snow, the chairman and CEO of Cedargate Technologies, who will talk to us about provider and payer collaboration and the role that technology plays here. David, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much again for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here, Erica. Thanks.
Well, we're happy to have you. And before we get started, I wanted to see if you would like to share just a little bit more about yourself, your role, your organization, whatever feels pertinent.
Yeah, sure. So I created Cedargate Technologies in 2014. We're private equity backed, but I created for the express purpose of building a end-to-end value-based care technology platform that supports the transformation of healthcare's move from fee-for-service to value-based care. I've built this with a deep understanding of how providers and payers work. In my background, I was the chairman and CEO of Medco, which was a very large PBM, the largest in the country at the time. Before that, I ran health plans for 20 years, and before that, I ran hospitals. So I've been in healthcare a long time. I was doing value-based care in the 1980s with U.S. healthcare, just to tell you how long I've been doing it. And so I'm very excited about this movement because I do think fee-for-service is fundamentally a perverse incentive. And I do think value-based care does and will work. And we're seeing value-based care start to really exponentially grow as a theme. And we're happy to be in the middle of that.
Thanks so much, David. It's great to learn a little bit more about you. And also, to your point about starting on value-based care initiatives dating back to the 80s and 90s, you know, it just goes to show how long this progression has been taking place and seems like it's really accelerated in recent years. And so I'm really excited to have your perspective on that. And also coming from that provider and payer background, a lot of valuable insight I'm sure that you have for us. And that's kind of where I wanted to start our conversation today. We know that providers and payers, they usually share overarching goals in population health, quality improvement, patient outcomes, especially value-based care as well. But it's, you know, these two entities collaborating isn't really the norm. So I wanted to get your perspective on why this is the case. And what do you view as key barriers and opportunities here, especially with value-based care models?
Yeah, that's a great question. So back in the 1980s, when I was doing various forms of capitation, as well as primary care attribution models, the number one problem in payer-provider collaboration was technology. If you remember back in the 80s, we still had green screen computers and we used to use floppy disks to transfer data. That is just completely inadequate when it comes to the kind of insights you need to share with the provider community when they take risk. So the reason I created Cedargate Technologies in 2014 is my observation was the world is now better able to support the play with technology. And so once the technology was powerful enough to accommodate the kinds of things you need for value-based care, the software has to be developed. The platforms need to be developed. And there have been incremental improvements each and every year since I started the company in 2014. We're getting better and better at it. And I am seeing the payers and the providers getting more aggressive to advance value-based care. The number one longest pole in the tent has been technology, and technology is now an enabler. It's not a problem.
I love how you put that, David, technology as an enabler and not a problem. So it's exciting to think about what we're capable of now, especially in terms of payers and providers collaborating to advance value-based care. And so to take that a little bit further, to drive that collaboration between these two entities, what data is essential? And how do tools like the EHR and also care management programs, how do they play a role?
Right. Essential data, the most basic data, includes medical claims, pharmacy or PBM claims, EMR data, eligibility data. Those are the four most basic. But I will tell you, there are many, many use cases that involve other data. So Cedargate takes over 40 different types of data depending on the use case. And we do all the work for our customers to onboard that data, homogenize it, enrich it, stitch it at the member level, and store it such that you can do analytics in very powerful ways to get the insights you need to manage population's health. So there are lots of other types of data. So beyond the four I just mentioned, I'll give you a few others. People are looking at workers' comp, disability, dental, lab data. They're looking at wearables in the data associated with that daily activity. So it's all kinds of information. The more information, quite honestly, the better to understand how you can best intervene to drive positive health outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, David, I've heard, well, at least I've read articles that have kind of commented on this idea of having a lot of data, but taking that data and making meaning of it and having it guide interventions is kind of another story. So as a follow-up, how can payers and providers ensure that they're using that data to guide appropriate interventions? Do you have any like high-level best practices there?
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, there's so many ways. That's what makes it this space so exciting. So one example is to understand relative performance of individual providers at an episode of care level, risk adjusted. Because when you look at performance, let's take a total hip or a total knee, when you look at providers and their data, there's always a bell curve of performance, both in terms of cost and quality. So in a marketplace, there's this bell curve. The bell curves are typically fairly wide, meaning there's a lot of variability in the way patients are treated for the same problem on a risk-adjusted basis. And the mean of the market has lots of providers on both sides. So you have superstar providers that are really truly centers of excellence to the left of the mean, and you also have a lot of providers who are to the right of that mean who have less good outcomes, both in terms of cost and quality. So powerful information is now available so that you can understand at that individual position level or at that group level, why am I to the right of the mean of the bell curve? What are the things I can do to improve my performance? So ultimately, the goal of using this powerful technology and the insights is that you narrow that bell curve. You take the variability in clinical performance away. You narrow the bell curves of cost and quality, and you move the mean to the left over time. That is worth billions and billions of dollars to our healthcare system, and it's all to the benefit of the patient. And from a cost perspective, the payer and society more broadly.
Really appreciate that example, David, and that visualization of the bell curve. I think that'll be really helpful to our listeners. And it's quite compelling to know that that alone is capable of saving as much money as you noted. So kind of tying all of this together, as leaders are looking ahead, trying to advance value-based care and potentially even partner with their counterparts, so payers and providers partnering more so together, what are three key steps that leaders can take to drive deeper collaboration? And how do you expect that that deeper collaboration will affect the industry more broadly?
Well, let me tell you what I'm seeing already. We had six large payers buy our value-based care analytics in 2023. These are significant payers. The reason they're buying and not building is they want to work with the provider community today around value-based care. And they're finding providers will not enter value-based care arrangements with them unless the right kinds of information are shared such that there's some transparency. So I would say that as the providers get more sophisticated, they know they need insights to manage the risk they're taking. You know, if you don't give them the insights, it's the analogy is you're asking a pilot to fly an airplane with a blindfold on, and the odds of your crashing are extremely high. So payers are understanding this. Historically, they haven't built the capabilities to share meaningful information to providers because in fee-for-service, it was not needed. It didn't help. No one would even pay attention. But under risk-based contracts, the providers desperately need that information to be successful. And it's in the payer's best interest to provide that information. So you've got the right environment now for this collaboration. What's been missing is the tools to facilitate the communication. And that's where Cedargate fits in.
Yeah, that's really helpful, David. I appreciate the explanation and definitely the metaphor about asking a pilot to fly an airplane with a blindfold on, being likened to asking providers to align with value-based models without the insights that they need. Right. So really appreciate that example. And, you know, just considering everything that we've discussed today, is there anything else that you think is really important for listeners to know, or anything that we may have missed earlier in our discussion?
Yeah, there's one thing we haven't talked about, and it seems as though everybody is talking about it. So you and I should also talk about it. And that is the role generative AI can play here. When you have enormous amounts of information, in the case of Cedargate, we have 3.5 petabytes of data and growing every day. The ability to find patterns in this enormous data that benefit the patient is very high. And we've been building out algorithms to help clinicians who are at risk do a better job keeping their patients healthy. And I'm going to give you one example. And that is in our database, we looked at about 13 million lives. We have 62 million lives on our platform, but we looked at a subset of 13 million lives, used AI and machine learning to try to predict, tied to patterns, who is likely to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in the next year who has not yet been diagnosed. And long story short, we did publish this research. We found we were 83% accurate in determining who would be diagnosed in the next 12 months for type 2 diabetes. And we've done the same thing now with cardiovascular disease of various types. And we're going to keep expanding that library. Our customers, whenever we make these discoveries, they have access to these kinds of analytics. And it tells them where to spend their time and energy and where they need to be proactive to avoid future inpatient hospitalizations or ER visits. So let your imagination run wild, but those kinds of insights are very powerful. They're meaningful at every level of healthcare. And I think that's something to watch and look forward to because it will make a meaningful difference.
Mm. Absolutely. As you were saying that, especially how technology could enable predicting certain chronic conditions like diabetes, just the time saved alone, the efficiency that that could drive, the capacity it could build for healthcare organizations, it's pretty remarkable.
It is.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. It's been a pleasure learning about Cedargate Technologies, a little bit about what you're working on and what you're looking at to the future. So thanks again for joining.
Thank you, Erica.
And we'd also like to thank Cedargate Technologies for sponsoring today's episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.